The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
The shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense as a kid. Dick shoots. Shoot, star! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Rafo curls in his own zone with Eklund influencing. Now Parayko will drop it back. Shen will skate away from Eklund. He moves down the left, one-on-one with Walman. Shoots, score! St. Louis wins 5-4 in overtime as Braden Shen gets the game winner 45 seconds into overtime.
Yeah, just kind of sat back in the third period, and that's what you get.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome as we are reacting to our first San Jose Sharks game of the season. And my word, do we feel a range of emotions coming out of that game. Let's start with the finish there. As you heard from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the play called by the Hall of Famer Dan Ruzanowski. Yeah, you sit back in the third and that's what you get. And it is unbelievable to think that the Sharks got such a dose of the future and the past in that game. But ultimately, to me, when I think about what the Sharks were over the course of that game, they were exciting, they were infuriating, they were filled with high-quality play, and they showed many of the things that we saw a year ago in which they didn't understand game management and when to push back, when to absorb, when to feel the game. And there were just so many things that were just a range of emotions and a range of play styles and just so much that we saw in one game. And the good news, while I don't want to react to one game more than it needs to be reacted to, is that there's 81 left and the Sharks will be back at it tomorrow night and everything should be much, much better when all is said and done. And they'll have many opportunities to not let a game get away from them like the way they did. The other side of it is that, wow, they still have some of those problems, and that's what, you know, the newcomers. We talk about all the new guys in the lineup last night. Celebrini, Toffoli, Smith, Goodrow, Wenberg, Gushin, I will count as new, even though we saw him a little bit. Delandria, Walman, Cece. I mean, that's nine guys that were new to that lineup last night. And that means that they, all those newcomers, both the rookies and the veterans, they are going to have to learn what this team needs to do to quote-unquote fix themselves to be a winning team in the NHL. Like, I am sure that to an extent, Tyler Toffoli and Barclay Goodrow saw the results of last year, and now they understand firsthand just how much they have to work with, just how much they have to help instill in a lot of these Sharks players. Because while the Sharks can perform at a high level, when the critical moment of the game was there, they did not step up in totality. And yes, I will look at that penalty kill. That was one big moment, but they needed more of that. They needed to never let it get beyond 4-2. They needed to never let it get beyond 4-3. They certainly never needed to get it to 4-4. And losing 5-4, while I won't say is inexcusable because it's the NHL and any team can win on any given night, that was something that we saw over the last couple of years that will be the difference between the Sharks taking steps forward and the Sharks getting stuck in a rut of a quote-unquote rebuild. And again, I don't want to overreact to one game, but it was like, wow, you see so much of the future and you see so much of the past in one game. Now, before we go any further without talking about it, Macklin Celebrini, holy Lord. I have been telling people that Macklin Celebrini, once you see him, you will understand exactly why we have had so much hype about him. And some of the things that I've noticed when I've watched Macklin Celebrini is that when we saw him at Dev Camp, when we saw him in the rookie faceoff, when I saw him at training camp, when I saw him in the preseason, those were, as someone who's watched a lot of hockey in person A, over the course of my life, and B, as someone who's been covering the Sharks as a broadcast professional for the last decade and a half and working for the Sharks for 6 years now, that was something that when I watched him in those non-NHL games, I thought to myself, this kid is the best player on the ice. He skates and plays and moves like a five-year veteran, and he's barely, 18 years old. And before that, he was only 17, right? And I thought to myself, I'm hyping this up, but it feels right to hype it up. And then you saw the reality very early in that game. For a first overall pick, the second fastest goal ever scored. The other one who scored a goal faster than him was Mario Lemieux. Are you kidding me? And I know that you can look at that and say, oh, well, he had the backwards or outside in spinorama and it hit off a defender skating into the goal. Well, he put the puck into a dangerous place. When you ask questions of the defense, you make them have an answer. And the answer in that instance was a throw a puck into a dangerous space. It got tipped in because it was in a dangerous space. And you also had William Eklund crashing. So you had many instances on that one play where Macklin Celebrini did the right things. And my goodness, to see him get that goal right off the bat, my Lord, that was huge, because you can't look at a play like that and not think about what he's going to do when he is 20 games into the NHL, when he is 80 games into the NHL, when he is 200 games into the NHL. That was a scary portent of things to come, and Macklin Celebrini is the real deal. And just, again, that was a huge moment for the franchise. It was a huge moment for him. After the game, he said it sucked. But yeah, it was an awful, awful finish with an incredible amount of highlights from some of the players you're expecting to be your key contributors this year. Beyond Macklin Celebrini, you had Tyler Toffoli being set up by Macklin Celebrini. Tyler Toffoli looked like everything he was advertised to be, the investment, everything you thought you saw in that player in one game that he can be for the San Jose Sharks. And Barclay Goodrow, he looked like an established veteran. He looked exactly like he's supposed to be. He comes through with a huge goal on the shorthanded situation. William Eklund, he gets a point. Fabian Zetterlund, he picks up his first goal of the year, picking right up where he left off a year ago. Those are the encouraging things you want to see, because those are the contributors that you're expecting to do their thing over the course of 82 games. The juxtaposition, though, is that the Sharks still showed to all of their fans and all of the NHL that they don't know how to close out games, that game management is still an issue, at least for one game. And it shouldn't be a perfect situation after one game. It's just a reminder last night that while you have so much new talent, while you have more talent than you did a year ago, while you do have much more in terms of your overall lineup, you still need to learn. And that's why Tyler Toffoli, Barclay Goodrow, and many of the other veterans that are now a part of this team need to figure out how to get these younger players, these guys who have only been through some really bad times with the San Jose Sharks, they need to teach them how to win. And I think that is maybe an overused sports cliche, but I think it is very much a truth when we look at the San Jose Sharks. You saw all the good, you saw all the bad, you saw the future, you saw the past, you saw an incomplete project out there on the ice, and once the Sharks are able to put it all together, they're going to be a dangerous team. I have continually made the comparison that this is where the Warriors were before they really made that next step, in transition under Steve Kerr to be a championship team, or you look back at where the Giants were in 2008 or 2009, where you saw a lot of young talent. It wasn't quite there yet to consistently win, but there was the idea of what it could be. We saw the framework last night of the San Jose Sharks. They had a rough start to the first period, and I know that people might not be the happiest with Mackenzie Blackwood right now, but there were, a couple of those goals were tipped in. I don't think he was the issue at all last night. The Sharks were getting pinned in their own end early on, and they were giving up a flurry of shots, and you've got to give Mackenzie Blackwood a huge amount of credit for keeping them in the game. He was making stops with his back turned to the goal, and he gave the Sharks an opportunity to get back and take the lead, and he did his job up to that point. But Mackenzie Blackwood, I think like a lot of goalies in the NHL, there's only so far they can go. There's only so many stops they can make, and they will get chopped down eventually. And you got to give the Blues a lot of credit. They kept on coming at him. They kept on really giving him just too many things to look at. They were crowding the slot. I thought that was another thing the Sharks bothered me with a couple times during the game. It seemed like they were willing to let St. Louis almost waltz into the slot, and I think that's still going to be some defensive chemistry that they have to work on going forward. So again, it's one game. It is one game that we have to put behind us and move forward, but Man, the amount of things you saw in that one game. I keep on going back to why I titled this episode. You saw the future, you saw the past, you saw the potential, you saw the framework, you saw the pitfalls, you saw it all over the course of 60 minutes and change in an overtime 5-4 loss. You pick up a point, I'll take it, and I would love for the Sharks to be able to bounce back and get a win to get to 500, because the Sharks have not had a 500 record since they were 8 games into the 2021-22 season, because they started off 4-0 and then they were at 4-4 after that. That's my quick memory. Check me if I'm wrong on that, but that is pretty sure how it went down. And that was the last time they were at 500, and they haven't been, you know, over 500 since they were 4-0. And so it's been a long time for San Jose. And we, you would love for them to have that opportunity. You would love for them to be back in that 500 category, just to be able to say it, because it hasn't happened for so long. But yeah, man, this was a tough loss, but you saw so much of what the Sharks were able to do. So let's get into it. First period, Macklin Celebrini, the future is now.
Rebound near board, Celebrini back on the ice, fighting for it, trying to poke it up the right wing side. Couldn't clear it out. Ryan Suter's shot is blocked by Toffoli, and he almost raced away on a breakaway, but it was blocked, and the Sharks are going to have to regroup. They do. Here's Celebrini on the right wing side. Spinorama play to the net. Tip score! I think that went off the defense, and that should be Macklin Celebrini's goal, with William Eklund right in front of the net. It's past goaltender Joel Hofer, and the Sharks are up 1-0 at 7:01 of this first period. And you can't write a script much better than that, with Celebrini in on the very first goal of the season.
I mean, what a moment for the San Jose Sharks franchise and Macklin Celebrini. You remember where you were when the Sharks won the draft lottery. You remember the moment when he was drafted by the San Jose Sharks with Joe Thornton peacocking with that beautiful beard on stage with the commissioner announcing the pick. You remember where you were when you saw that first goal in the preseason that was scored by Macklin Celebrini. And now the first goal of the regular season scored by Macklin Celebrini. The Sharks take a 1-0 lead. You're cooking. You give up the goal to make it a 1-1 game. But then Macklin Celebrini is right in on it again, making it a 2-1 game, feeding Tyler Toffoli.
Teams are changing now as Thrun and Ruta are in their own zone with the puck. Henry Thrun tosses to Macklin Celebrini, picks up speed through center, weaves his way through traffic, gets it across the line, grabbed there by Eklund. Eklund cuts back behind the Blues net, bounces it off the right boards, Ruta the shot, wide, rebound Celebrini behind the net, centering pass, score! Tyler Toffoli getting a beautiful feed from behind the net from Celebrini. That was world class. Great shot by Toffoli, and it's 2-1 Sharks.
Tyler Toffoli gives the Sharks a 2-1 lead with his first goal in teal. Macklin Celebrini picks up his first assist, and the San Jose Sharks are rolling up 2-1. And then Fabian Zetterlund gets in on things. He gets a power play goal and makes it a 3-1 game for San Jose.
On the man advantage, Granlund near side. Exchanges with Zetterlund in the middle. Down low to Toffoli in the left corner. Back to the near half forwards. Now it's Zetterlund in front. Score! Zetterlund tipping the pass from Granlund and banging in his first goal of the year. That was just a sweet, sweet play by Granlund and Zetterlund. And it's a power play goal. And the Sharks lead 3-1.
Sharks power play looked pretty decent last night. I really liked what I saw. They moved the puck well and with purpose. I think that is going to be a surprising strength of theirs this year. It was something I was talking with Alan Hoshida of NBC pre and post last night as we watched the game together. I think there is a lot that they can offer, and I'm excited to see more and more from them, just because last year the power play at times looked a little bit lost, looked a little bit meandering without purpose. Last night it looked very, very purposeful and looked like we are going to get a fun time this year on the power play, and hopefully we can get even more of that. And then, hey, you know what? The Sharks looked pretty good on the kill. They even got a shorthanded goal, as it was Barclay Goodrow getting in on the fun and giving the Sharks what looked like an insurmountable 4-1 lead.
Pedaling on CC at 16:55 for holding. Here comes Robert Thomas leading the way for St. Louis. He gave it away to Barclay Goodrow. Goodrow's got a chance, moving in on the left wing side. Shoots one on net, save made. Rebound, score! That was knocked in off of the goaltender Hofer. Barclay Goodrow, shorthanded, moving down the wing in a second chance. Should get credit with some people jamming at it. It went off the defense and right through Hofer, and it's 4-1 Sharks. The first shorthanded goal of the year for San Jose.
I mean, think about what we've seen at this game at this point. The Sharks have a 5-on-5 goal. They have a power play goal. They have a shorthanded goal. They've got a goal from their future. They've got a goal from their big offseason acquisition. They've got a goal from their leading goal scorer a year ago. They've got a goal from a former hero of the franchise who's back in teal after time on the East Coast with both Tampa and New York Rangers. I mean, all the things you're getting in this game, and then that's when the collapse occurs. The Sharks fall by a final of 5-4, culminating in that overtime loss.
Parayko curls in his own zone with Eklund influencing. Now Parayko will drop it back. Schenn will skate away from Eklund. He moves down the left, one-on-one with Wallman, shoots, score! St. Louis wins 5-4 in overtime as Braden Schenn gets the game winner 45 seconds into overtime.
If you had a hope or a fear or a question or a wonder or an excitement level or any range of emotion about the San Jose Sharks heading into last night, you felt it one way or another. So many things we saw out of that game. So much hope, so much to shake your head at, so much to be excited for. Man, what a season opener. I don't think there's ever been a more exciting season opening loss for the San Jose Sharks in franchise history. That last night was one of the more exciting games that I have seen the Sharks play in an opening loss. We've got to qualify it, but yeah, for it to be an opening night loss where you're at home, so much excitement, so much fun, so much pain. What a night. All right, I did sit down with the host of Sharks pre- and post-game live on NBC Sports California, Alan Hoshida. I think that you all need a chance to get to know this guy. I'm going to enjoy working with this year. I already knew him from previously working at NBC. Great dude, but we talked about last night's game. Unable to hold on to a 4-1 lead in game number one, in which you had Macklin Celebrini with a goal and an assist, Tyler Toffoli with a goal, Barclay Goodrow with a goal, Fabian Zetterlund with a goal. They had a power play. They had a shorty. They had 5-on-5. I mean, everything was...
40 minutes. I was like, this is... Let's sign up for the playoffs. Let's do this.
So tell me about the feeling of going from that high to St. Louis coming back and then winning it in overtime. Like, just what was your gut reaction when this one came to a close?
Gut reaction when it ended, it was like, it didn't feel real because you just wanted so bad for the Sharks to hold this off. I think that was, I just wanted them so bad to close this thing out and like, hey, first game, look at all these things. They did everything right in that second period. The first period was kind of holding on for dear life. Second period, though, and you come out 4-1. Like, they scored in 5-on-5, like you said, power play, shorthanded. Everything was good. You just wanted to hold on. And so it just, like, was a total gut punch because the whole conversation, we have everything laid out, how we want to, like, talk about things. And then you're like, but now everyone's just going to remember that it's the overtime loss. No one's going to remember about Matt. Well, everyone's going to remember what Macklin did, but it would feel so much better if you just hold on to that game. And they should have held on to that game.
I think the hard part is that everybody remembers similar situations from a year ago when they would have collapses, when they would not be able to handle the push that the other team would bring in those critical moments. And it's hard until they truly separate themselves from last year to say that that was not a holdover from the previous season. Like, that's the thing, is that last year, the last 2 years in particular, are still fresh in everyone's minds.
Yeah, and every, you know, even when we're talking, we're like, oh, don't pull a 2023, 2024. Like, that's like something that people are going to say. Like, you don't want that to happen. And also because all training camp, they've been talking about how they want to nip these things in the bud when they start happening, these momentum swings. And they had that big penalty kill there in the third period. So you thought maybe they were turning things around. But yeah, until they show, it's just like anything. Until you show me that you can do it or you prove me wrong, it's going to be there. And for, I don't know if that's always fair, especially it's just one game and there's 50% of this starting lineup was not really part of the team. So it's, I don't know if it's fair, but that's just how it goes until proven otherwise.
Now, Macklin Celebrini had some proving to do to see if he would live up to the hype. I would say he 100% lived up to the hype, probably exceeded it, had the second fastest goal in a debut for first overall. What's the qualifying stat now? I'm sure. Is it the first overall
pick? Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Second fastest. Only a guy, Mario Lemieux. You may have heard of him.
When you have to start like getting like, okay, how do I correctly detail this goal? I mean, sometimes you're like, are we getting too fine? But when you think about this, it was pretty impressive. Like you say, Mario Lemieux is the only guy who scored a debut goal faster as a top overall pick. Macklin, yeah. And if you look at it, you're like, okay, that was lucky. But I think it goes back to something they have talked about in training camp where we've seen they're going to shoot the puck a lot more. They're going to get the puck to the front of the net where that's where you score goals. So you can't score goals if you don't shoot at the goal or if you don't put the pucks in dangerous areas. And he said after he saw Eklund going down, he thought he had a step and he was just going to throw it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, good things happen like that. And we've seen it against the Sharks the last couple years when better teams would score these fluky goals and you're like, oh man, like that was just such a lucky bounce that shouldn't have gone in the back of net. But you create your own luck. That's the old saying, right? You create your own luck.
You do. And Macklin Celebrini, and we talked about this on our post-game segment that we did, and which hopefully fans will be able to see some of on social media or by way of the NBC Sports Bay Area website. But the thing about guys like Macklin Celebrini is they tend to get lucky because they're so skilled. And I'm not trying to say that there was anything undeserved about that, but to your point, he put the puck in a dangerous area. And lo and behold, when you do that for the defense, something bad can happen, and something bad did happen for St. Louis, but for San Jose fans who have put all of their hopes and dreams into Macklin Celebrini, I mean, he showed up and showed out in his first ever game as an NHL player in San Jose, a sold-out arena, and what a moment.
The tank was popping. I mean, he changed the feeling around the franchise and just by being drafted, but then you could feel it throughout the offseason and you felt it in the building because after he had his helper, he has the puck again on his stick probably later in the first period, and you can hear it. You can hear the tank again, and that's something we haven't heard for a couple years now. And to hear that come back to life with it was like if Joe Thornton had the puck and you knew it was in a dangerous area, you knew he was in his office and he was going to set someone up. You just didn't hear that. And so for Macklin to be able to do that, and yes, he's 18 years old and we're like saying, hey man, you just turned the whole franchise around and everything, but we're not, it's not there yet, but the fans felt it. And when a player has the ability in any sport to change the energy in the building, that's scary for an opposing team.
Very scary. And the other thing that I think that maybe is probably going to get a little bit overlooked in this game is that the Sharks did get the contributions from two of the big offseason acquisitions in Tyler Toffoli and Barkley Goodrow, and that William Eklund was in on the score sheet when all was said and done, and that Fabian Zetterlund had a goal when all was said and done. And you're counting on William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund and Tyler Toffoli and Barkley Goodrow to come through with these big moments. And listen, I'm sure that they would come back and tell us that they didn't do X, Y, and Z when the Blues were making their comeback, but you see, even in the loss, the idea of what the Sharks are building towards. To your point, you were very excited to see the power play. The power play looked potent. Baby, I mean, we saw ideas of what they're working towards. It's not a completed product yet, but we got, you know, the framework. We can see it working.
Yeah, you could check off a lot of things. They scored 5-on-5, power play, shorthanded. They did all those things that they didn't do a lot of that at all last season. They scored 4 goals. They didn't do that until midway through November last year. So there is a lot that was good. It's just it doesn't taste good right now.
No.
It's like a stale donut. Like it was at one point, it was very delicious. But then by the time you're eating it, a few hours later, it doesn't taste that good anymore.
You're hungry like I am right now.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Oh, donut. I would eat a stale donut. And we'll all have to eat that loss. Ryan Warsofsky in his post-game commentary, he was brief. He was given like 5 to 10 second answers. I mean, he didn't look ticked off, but man, I'm sure he was like, you got to be kidding me.
He's boiling. And I don't know. I'm hoping for our sake when we do our shows that we get a little bit more insight from our boy Ryan Warsawski, because he, when he wants to tell you, or when he feels that he's opening up a little bit more and giving you insight, or he's a great interview and he says really great things. Like yesterday at practice. Well, 2 days ago, whenever this is, you know, you're
listening
to this.
He's referencing Wednesday at practice.
Wednesday. See, I got to get better at days, because I'm always just like, oh, yesterday or whatever. So Wednesday at practice.
Because we're recording this Thursday night after the game. Wednesday was the practice. Yeah. You'll hear this on Friday morning.
I'm not quick.
Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, yes. But he was great. On Wednesday after practice, he was great, giving great answers. And so, you know, it's different after a game. The emotions are very raw. And if that's something, you know, good about him, everyone has talked about emotion, that he cares, he wants to win. Mm-hmm. And you feel that when he gives 5 to 10 second answers, one sentence answers. And you just, I mean, it just goes back to that same feeling. It's like you got to feel like you left a lot on the table. He did say something that I thought was a good reminder for Sharks fans, is that as good as the young kids and even this young core are going to be, they are going to still, within the same game, maybe within the same shift or next shift, have moments where they are going to learn something about playing in the NHL, learning about themselves, learning about what it means to compete every single shift. So fans, we can get as high as we won, or when we're watching Macklin or Will Smith, who I think Will Smith actually had, he didn't put on anything on the score sheet, but I didn't think he was bad at all either tonight for his stretches. But they're going to have their ups and downs, and that's to be expected and not necessarily anything to worry about.
And now it's on to Anaheim Saturday night. We'll be on at 6:30, correct, for pregame
That's
coverage?
Right. Pregame live, 6:30, our season debut.
It'll be fun, man. Well, this was a very fun night that somehow left us with a bad taste when all was said and done. But actually, the farther we're getting away from it, I don't really feel that bad, because Macklin Celebrini looks really, really good.
Yeah.
The players that were expected to perform did. It's 1 of 82, and we get to see 2 of 82
on
Saturday night.
And the Blues played a game already. The Blues already played a game. That's, like, unfair. That you can't play – if you should always start your season against a team that's starting their season,
first game.
Too. Because, come on, they already played a game. They came back against the Kraken.
Yeah, I was like, what's Seattle's excuse then?
They don't have an excuse, but it's okay. I'm building in excuses, because – you can't. That's just, they already had guys go in and out of the lineup. I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking too much into it. But this is NHL. If you need a scheduling quirk, find me.
Yeah, find Alan. He'll tell you all about it. Well, Alan, I appreciate your time. I'm going to be bugging you much more this year. But I will let you go, and I will see you on Saturday.
All right, we'll see you then.
There's more to that interview with Alan Hoshida, which I will play for you on the build-up as we get ready for Game 2 Saturday against Anaheim. I wanted to get into some post-game sound before we run out of time. Macklin Celebrini's reaction to his first game, his first goal. He wasn't too pleased when all was said and done.
I mean, it's cool to get the first of both for my career, but I mean, we lost, so it sucks.
I'd say that sums it up pretty nicely. I mean, yeah, it is cool. The result is not the desired outcome for any of the San Jose Sharks or the fans or Mr. Macklin Celebrini himself. I'd love his matter-of-factness with the answer. He'll give the media some fun quotes if he's like that over the course of his career. But yeah, I mean, Macklin Celebrini showed everybody what he's capable of. I'll give you some more of his fun answers in talking about the game. He was asked when he realized that he had scored the goal.
Eki did. Because I was like, nice goal, and he was just like, I didn't score, you did. And I was like, I mean, I thought he was just super excited that he scored, but I guess he was happy for me.
Yeah, first watch, I didn't know whether or not Eklund hit it in or whether or not it went off a defender. It wasn't until I saw the replay that it was his goal. But what an incredible, just the spinorama, the angle that he took to go from the outside back in. I mean, that was just an absolutely incredible bit of hockey from Macklin Celebrini. We're so excited to see what else he can now do out there on the ice. More from Eklund on making that play.
I got a pass entering the zone. Didn't see a lot of options. They had a couple guys back, and I saw Eki driving the net, and I thought he had a step on the defenseman. So I just tried to, like, fake up and then just throw into the middle, see if he could get a stick on it. But it was just a lucky bounce off the D-skate.
Guys that are as talented as Eklund is, they tend to get quote-unquote lucky because they know how to put the puck into dangerous places. All right, we are just about out of time, but we'll be back with you tomorrow. Game 2 for the San Jose Sharks as they are hosting the Anaheim Ducks from SAP Center, 7 o'clock go time and a 6:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.